This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, Bill Jack from Worldview Academy, also in studio with us today. And Bill, we've been waiting a long time for this. I think we've been speaking of this for, 16 years on this radio program and waiting expectantly for the day at which American Christian leaders, conservative leaders would say with almost a unified chorus, get them out and get them out now.
And you and I have been saying this for a lot longer than 16 years.
Oh, I know. And James Dobson, to his credit, was saying this in the mid-90s.
Right.
So you remember
right.
that. Right. But kudos to the Christian leaders, conservative leaders that are saying this now. They're finally coming to the belly of the beast that sets the nation towards, you know, an anti-God agenda, transgenderism, homosexuality, evolution, feminism, and just a general rejection of God. And, of course, the public schools have been doing this since the 1960s. Do you remember that prayer and the Word of God was expunged from the schools in the 1960s? But how many years has it been? 50 years, at least 50 years now, half a century. And I think we are beginning to hear from two or three or four Christian leaders around the country saying, I think there's a problem with this.
Finally,
it is. You know, do you sense maybe a little bit of disappointment in my voice? I'm excited. I'm thankful, but still a bit disappointed.
Not disappointed. It's just it's too little, too late. The schools have won. They have won the day, and it took them less than probably two decades to really ramp it up. And this should have been done two decades ago. And how many thousands and thousands of people have been sacrificed on the altar of secular education in the past two decades from Christian homes. And I think it is way past time that Christians pull their kids out of the secular schools. They're not public schools. They're secular schools. They're state schools. They indoctrinate. They do not educate. And I can say that because I taught for 10 years in the secular schools.
Well, kudos to the Christian leaders and the conservative leaders that are saying it now. This comes from the Worldview in 5 minutes from, a day or two ago.
Yep.
Rush Limbaugh referred to the wretched, horrible circumstances of the public school system. He said, one of the answers to this mess is homeschooling. And Todd Starnes was this from Fox News.
Right.
And Todd Starnes from Fox News was interviewing Franklin Graham just a few days ago, and he asked Franklin Graham, what parents should do in states that mandate public school education teaching on homosexuality? Evangelist Franklin Graham responded,
I'd pull them out of public school.
That's what he said. Yeah.
Finally, somebody is just being blunt.
He stepped up to the microphone and he said it, Bill.
Yeah.
I'd pull them out. Say it one more time.
I'd pull them out
of the public schools. So, you know, I'm encouraged, Bill. Are you encouraged? I mean, this is something.
Yes, and I know what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, Kevin. There's going to be such an outcry by those who say, I'm a Christian public school teacher, and this is not going on in our school. And I'm offended because I'm a missionary in the public school. And my answer to that is, okay, then step up as a missionary. And there's going to be a lot of pastors who say, well, we're not going to go that far because we have great public school teachers in our congregations, and I don't want to offend them. You know what? The Word of God offends. And I'm going to tell you that teachers are under the severest judgment I find in Scripture. It'd be better if a millstone were hung around their neck and they were tossed in the ocean than if they mislead little ones. And that nearly drove me out of teaching. They need to step up and begin to proclaim God's Word in the secular schools. And they're going, well, I'll lose my job. I said, then you're just pandering. You're just prostituting yourself for the paycheck. You're not educating. You're reading a script. You're a script reader for the state. It is time to educate, not indoctrinate.
And Bill, you walk through this as a public school teacher yourself, so you're not speaking as one who wasn't there, as one who hasn't had to walk that walk. And friends, here's another article from David Lane writing in Charisma News. Now, Charisma News is sort of a mainstream, charismatic, Pentecostal magazine, if I'm not mistaken, right? I mean, they're online, Charisma News.
Right.
I believe they represent something of the Pentecostal charismatic segment of the Christian evangelical church. And David Lane does an article, and he quotes from A.W. Pink, which is kind of a shocker to me, because A.W. Pink was one of the few guys standing strong in the Word of God and the sovereignty of God in the 1950s. I mean, this guy was writing in the 1950s, so he's been long dead, okay? But A.W. Pink is writing on the public schools in the 1950s, you know, and here's what he says: like a locust on the twig of a tree, it continues eating its way through the flesh till nothing but the skeleton is left. This is what sin has done to public education in America. It has corrupted every part of its being so that public education is totally depraved. No faculty, no member of this complex constitution has escaped defilement. Heart, mind, will, conscience, spirit, soul, and body are equally poisoned. Those are strong words. And here's the kicker. 70 years ago, this guy was writing this. Bill, in the 1950s,
yeah,
are the public schools, say, more defiled today, more corrupt today, more depraved today than they were in 1950? You know, where are things? What would A.W. Pink think about Christians sending their children off to schools that are as radically anti-Christian, as pro-homosexual and pro-transgender as most schools are today? What would he say 70 years later?
It's absurd to see how far we have slipped so quickly, and how we have sacrificed children on the altar of convenience and evolution and secularism.
Friends, it's been three generations since A.W. Pink said these words. And by the way, here are a few other quotes. J. Gresham Machen writing in the 1920s. Okay, Bill, when would that have been? What, 90 years ago? J. Gresham Machen writing in the 1920s. J. Gresham Machen, who is a founding member of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, taking a hard right off of the PCUSA, the mainstream Presbyterian Church in America in the 1920s. This is what J. Gresham Machen is writing. Place the lives of children in their formative years, despite the convictions of their parents, under the intimate control of experts appointed by the state, where the mind is filled with the materialism of the day, and it is difficult to see how even the remnants of liberty can subsist. Such a tyranny, supported as it is by a perverse technique used as the instruments in destroying human souls, is certainly far more dangerous than the crude tyrannies of the past. He's writing that in the 1920s. Also, friends, from the 1880s, this would have been what, 130 years ago? In the 1880s, A.A. Hodge, president of Princeton University, writes, "I am as sure as I am of Christ's reign that a comprehensive and centralized system of national education separated from religion, as is now commonly proposed, will prove the most appalling enginery for the propagation of anti-Christian and atheistic unbelief and of anti-social nihilistic ethics, individual, social, and political, which the sin-wrecked world has ever seen." Boy, if there wasn't a prophetic statement about that godless, naturalistic, materialistic, humanistic form of education that was proposed in the 1880s and accomplished by the 1920s, 1930s, 1940s, condemned in the 1950s by A.W. Pink as the most corrupt, the most depraved, the most horrible, the most amoral, immoral thing that has ever been engineered in the history of mankind, using the words of A.A. Hodge and A.W. Pink. Friends, what can we say about it 70 years later? Bill, any adjectives that come to mind at this point? I think they've already used them up. I'm not sure. I've got other adjectives to describe the horrible character of the public schools in the 2020s. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith. And it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case, a historical case,
And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you, Bill Jack from Worldview Academy, also in studio with me. And Bill, we've just been talking about the measure, conservative Christian leaders in the nation stepping up to the microphone and saying it's time to get your kids out of these materialistic, anti-supernaturalistic, humanistic worldview-based public schools. James Dobson, Franklin Graham, Rush Limbaugh, David Lane. What's the problem here, Bill? There's still a problem here. And you already said it's too little too late.
Yeah.
But what's the problem with this, Bill?
Well, first of all, they are speaking to the culture in general.
Yeah.
Okay. They are calling, like Franklin Graham and David Lane are calling Christians to exit the schools. But these people are national spokesmen. They are not local pastors who have risen up in chorus.
Yeah.
That's part of the problem.
Yeah. Where is the Evangelical Pastor Coalition of American Churches?
It's what I mentioned before.
Where are these people? Where are the pastors? Are they saying get them out? Are the pastors shepherding the little lambs? Are they caring for the little lambs?
No. And that's the sad part about this, and it's because of one word, it's fear. Fear of offending, fear of losing people in the pews.
I thought we were supposed to fear God.
Yes.
I thought we were supposed to fear God. What is this fear of man business?
Well, it's insidious. It creeps in, and it affects all of us.
Yes, it does.
It doesn't affect – I'm not talking about people out there. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about all of us.
That's right.
All of us succumb mm-hmm. to some form of fear.
Yeah.
And pastors, unfortunately, are subject, and they're put in a pressure cooker of fear because they have to – have a pulpit.
Yeah.
And so that fear is always in the back of their minds, I'm sure.
But Bill, I think you've got to come to the point at which you just say, hey, you know, I don't care what happens to my paycheck. I don't care what happens if they kick me out of this place. I just have to throw my body over the souls of these little ones and say, hey, we've got to be raising these little ones in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I said, somebody needs to do that. So somebody just needs to say, it doesn't matter about money. It doesn't matter if the attendance in my church goes from 1,600 to 143. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. My responsibility is to be a faithful under-shepherd for the Lord Jesus Christ.
And all they're going to have to do is just quote Martin Luther. Martin Luther wrote this. He said, I would advise no one to send his child where the Holy Scriptures are not supreme. Every institution that does not increasingly pursue the study of God's word becomes corrupt. I greatly fear that the universities, unless they teach the Holy Scriptures diligently and impress them on the young students, are wide gates to hell.
Hmm. You read that in a Lutheran church, them fighting words, you're going to get kicked out for reading
That's
Martin
right.
Luther in a Lutheran church. You
know? Yep.
Well, you know, I think what's happened is people have been in the slowly boiling water for too long, Bill, and they don't realize that we are in far worse off condition than we think. So, friends, it's time to get your kids out. But you know, again, some people are saying, yeah, but homeschooling's not a cure-all. It's not a panacea. Now, that's true. They will say, look at Josh Harris. He didn't turn out very well. Now, look at him. He was homeschooled, and look at what's happened. Now, Bill, my response to that is, first of all, we're not called to pragmatism. We're not called to anecdotal evidence either. Anecdotal stories aren't worth all that much. Now, I could say, you know, all five of my siblings were homeschooled, and we've turned out very well, and, you know, we're serving God while in our 40s and 50s and so forth and so on. But But again, that's anecdotal evidence. We did a survey called the Gentoo Survey. We looked at 10,000 millennials, not just one isolated person who was homeschooled. And it turns out, yes, 14% of millennial homeschoolers have apostatized. They've gone over to the dark side. That is, those millennial homeschoolers that were raised in Christian homes, 14%, Bill, have apostatized, have worked, walked their way over to the dark side. They've left the faith by their own profession, like Josh Harris. He was not the only one. The point is, he was not the only one.
Okay, now
14% walked over the dark side.
So 14%. But what percentage of professing Christian students who attend public schools come out unscathed?
I got that. Yeah, 28% of Christian school kids apostatize. That is double the percentage of Christian kids raised in Christian homes attending Christian schools apostatized, and 51% of Christian kids attending public schools apostatized went over to the dark side. So, Bill, again, 14%. We're not saying that, you know, homeschooling is perfect. We're saying, yes, there's still the, you know, minus three standard deviations on the normal curve. You know the bell curve, don't you? There's always the bell curve. You know, you don't have a perfect recipe, and we're not calling for anything of perfect recipe for, you know, everything's going to turn out right if you do this, this, and that.
Because we live in a fallen world.
We live in a fallen world, exactly. We have fallen parents involved. You know, God is ultimately sovereign over all of what happens in this world. But here, friends, again, look at the data. What does the data say? Don't go to the anecdotal evidence. The data says, based on a sample size of 10,000 millennials raised in Christian homes, as we have presented it in the Gentoo survey, 14% of millennial homeschoolers apostatized versus 28% for kids attending Christian school versus 51% for Christian kids attending public schools, they apostatized. So what is that? That means that, you know, homeschooling turned out to be about 340% improvement over the public school output for kids raised in Christian homes. And so, friends, again, we're not saying, again, that there is any one size fits all or any panacea, but what we are saying is there are certain influences that are negative for our children. And, you know, by the grace of God, of course, God compensates. And he, by his grace, he enables some children to survive despite the negative influences in their life. And yet, the point is, we're still responsible. I think that's what I'm saying, Bill. Well, yes, we acknowledge God's sovereignty, yeah, but as parents, we're still responsible to make decisions and not be placing our children in a position in which their teachers are more than likely to stumble them and to present a worldview that's counter a Christian worldview.
I've often asked parents, I said, would you give me your child for 6 hours a day, 5 days a week, knowing full well that I was a member of a pseudo-Christian cult? And
right,
they would say, no. I say, well, they're much more, that's exactly what's happening in the secular schools, because it is a cult. It is the cult of secularism, and they're being indoctrinated. So we need to place our children in fertile ground, not in stony ground. And we need to understand that our children, yes, are free agents. They're moral free agents, and they are ultimately responsible for their actions before God. And it is only the grace of God. But we do everything we can to brainwash our children, brainwash them in the Word of God. Because if they're not washed in the Word of God, they're going to be washed in something else. And they're going to think the way they are washed. Their little brains are going to soak it up. I always tell my daughter-in-law about how our grandkids, little pitchers, have big ears. What you pour into the pitcher will be poured out.
Yeah.
And so
they will absorb.
They will absorb it, and they will feed it back to you.
Well, friends, Rush Limbaugh refers to the wretched, horrible circumstances of the public school system. And he says one of the answers to the mess is homeschooling. And friends, we're not saying that homeschooling is the panacea, but what we are saying is you need to bring your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That is the command. There's no if, and, or but in that. There's no option. There's no alternative. This is the requirement upon every Christian father and mother out there. Bring your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And the question you need to come back to again and again is, given your children's education, cultural education, pop culture experiences, put that all together into a whole and ask yourself, does this look like you are raising your children in the nurture, the education, the discipleship, the culture, and the paideia of the Lord. If they're sitting at the feet of unbelieving teachers, unbelieving coaches, Lady Gaga, Steven Spielberg, J.K. Rowling, are they really being raised in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord? Are they really being raised in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord? That's the question to ask as parents. And you are responsible, Dad. You are accountable before Almighty God. You are responsible. You are culpable before Almighty God for the choices you make in the education of your children. So make right choices. And the big question is, you know, you escape from the troubles of public schools, but what do you embrace? You escape, but what do you embrace? We're not just asking people to get them out. We're saying get them into something. You catch that, Bill? It's not just get them out, but get them into. You remove your children from a discipleship of pop culture and public schools that teach transgenderism and ethical autonomy and all the rest. But do you teach them the wisdom that is formed in the fear of God? Do you give them a Christian discipleship in the home? You get rid of the negative, but you replace it with the positive. You escape the public schools, but do you embrace the paideia of Christ? And that's why our Christian discipleship curriculum, which ultimately, as best as we can, is to place a Christian worldview on steroids and put it into the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade curriculum. That's what we're doing, is trying to bring a Christian, a biblical education into our children's experience such that they receive a constant sense of the Word of God being relevant as a frontlet before their eyes, putting the Word of God on the gates, on the posts of the home, hanging it as a frontlet before their eyes, and teaching it to them as they sit in the house, as they walk by the way, as they rise up, as they lie down. Friends, we are doing the best we can to integrate the Word of God. I'm doing a world history course right now from creation to Christ and putting probably between 500 and 800 Bible verses into and throughout all of the discussions on Babylon, Assyria, Egypt, the Hittites, the Greeks, the Romans, and so forth and so on. That yes, they will learn world history, but they'll also learn how the Word of God is relevant, how the coming of Christ is relevant, and how the expectation, the waiting, the anticipation for Christ is absolutely essential as they study every year prior to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ between creation and Christ. And that's the way we're doing world history, friends. It's ultimately a Christian discipleship approach on steroids. And if there was ever a time that we need this, it is now. But again, it's only part of the answer. God needs to open up the heart of the parent, the heart of the child to Christ and to a Christ-saturated education. Without that, then our Christian discipleship curriculum would only be a farce. So again, what we're saying is you've got to, you know, disciple. You've got to bring the right curriculum. You've got to bring the right material into the mix. But the heart of the parent's got to be there. The heart of the child's got to be there. So again, friends, the basic principle is, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training, in the admonition of the Lord. And that's why the Christian discipleship curriculum provided by generations.org presents a family discipleship component in which dad reads the Word of God and brings in the family Bible study guides that's included with each pack. And then there's the Christian worldview aspect that is shot through the curriculum. And then we recommend the best teachers, the best books, not just great books, but the best books. Written by Christians, first and foremost. Prioritize the great books written by Christians over non-Christians. Don't set your children primarily and fundamentally and first and foremost at the feet of non-Christians. Remember, the great writers, the great teachers ultimately will be your children's teachers. But pick the right books, the right authors first, and then we integrate life and worship into each aspect of the curriculum. So friends, check out the Christian discipleship curriculum at our website, generations.org today. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.